He wanted it. He wanted this victory. In that moment, it was almost an all-consuming obsession. Wall of thorns! Plants sprang upwards, weaving together to form a barrier between the two of them, and Diane cursed. Coward! Still running and hiding! She lashed with her whip, surprised that the barrier didn't immediately fall. Growling, she attacked again, and all of the wall was shredded, visibly withering and dying even before the scraps landed on the ground. Diane blinked. Randidly was gone. Or rather, he was above, reaching the apex of the jump of pierce the skies, shatter the earth. And at that moment, his grin manic, he pointed his spear downwards and began to fall, his slightly numb fingers curling around the shaft of his spear. My muscles might not obey me, but did you know that skills are a bit magical? Chapter 49. Claptrap had been able to sell his ornate helmet for a decent profit, and that would sustain him for a while longer, but otherwise, today had been a very disappointing market. Although plenty of customers walked past, they simply didn't notice he was a separate stand from the two lavish setups on either side of him. Honestly, immediately after he sold the helmet, Claptrap experienced intense regret, for he realized just how much of a draw that ornate helmet had been. Without its high-quality craftsmanship and materials to draw the eye, Claptrap's small stand was just a piece of wood in the eyes of the powerful spear users who would come to this high market. Although it was frustrating, no one even noticed the engraved bracers he received from the ghost hound. They were simply too shabby. At this rate, Claptrap looked up, only to frown as he saw a large group walking down the aisle towards the location where his booth was located. At the front was a grinning man, who was clearly being bootlicked by the oily Izzat, who rubbed his hands together in a disgusting way, practically drooling at the thought of obtaining such fat sheep. And fat sheep they were. In the middle of their group, a towering ogre of a woman stood with a tassel held aloft, a soft, soft blue, barely more than white. It was the crashing wave style, who were the largest style in Katal and the surrounding area. Well, it's hard to say. We do business with a lot of merchants, the grinning man was saying, rubbing his beard. We don't really have exclusive contracts. But of course, we are amenable to competitive pricing.
Don't you worry about that. Ask anyone. Uncle Izzy gives you all you're entitled to and more for a fair price,
Izzat said, his eyes crinkling so far he looked like some sort of chubby night terror. Seeing him like that, walking with people from such a big style, it was too much. Something inside of Claptrap snapped. Almost before he realized what happened, his fist slammed down on his small booth, cursing his luck. Cursing himself for running away from Ciel without saying anything. Even cursing Ciel in a small part of his heart for driving him away from his happy life to this. To be overtaken by this bootlicker. The grinning man turned at the noise, tilting his head. Most of the surrounding merchants were looking at Claptrap too, slightly shocked. It wasn't that loud noises were uncommon in the area, just that... had there been a small stand there this whole time?
Ah, Claptrap! Oh, sir, this is a minor merchant with which I have some small dealings. Perhaps we should check his, stock?
Izzat's eyes had already scanned what was on the table, and his mouth twitched slightly. Although Claptrap was sure he was a better judge of quality, Izzat was still a wily old merchant. He clearly saw the low-quality nature of the bracers, and he wasn't going to miss this chance to humiliate Claptrap.
He occasionally has, unusual finds. Anything worth this honored sir's time, Claptrap?
The question was obviously a trap, a part of Claptrap noticed. But humiliation and frustration and rage were all mixed inside of him, and they insisted he refused to back down. Claptrap raised his head proudly and said,
Of course. Would honored sir please examine these bracers?
Izzat's face was twisted between shock, caution, and excitement as he struggled to understand why Claptrap wouldn't back off. The grinning man came forward, his amused expression still in place. The man seemed to know that some sort of posturing was going on behind the scenes. It was clear he didn't really mind, as long as it was amusing. And approaching these poorly stitched bracers, he had no doubt that it would be. Randy screamed toward the arena platform, picking up speed, and Diane only looked up at the last second, her eyes wide with realization, which was good, because Randy couldn't do much fine spear work yet, even if his body was slowly struggling to throw off the poison. Randy couldn't care less what he couldn't do, because he was sure right now there was one thing he could do, and that was to end this strange poison woman. He landed with a crash, Diane scrambling backwards. Unfortunately, the shockwave knocked her even farther away, disorientating her, but only injuring her slightly. Randy pulled on his rings, gathering up the rest of his stamina and mana. Several bursts of spearing roots ripped upwards, and Diane didn't notice until one had already pierced her thigh, wriggling in a strange, rooty victory dance. She showed a surprisingly decisive personality as she twisted, ripping the hole in her leg even wider, but she was able to use her spear whip to sever the roots in the surrounding area. Another wave of spearing roots was on its way. She was perhaps just as skilled as Randedly at fleeing. She flicked her whip out, and following the elongated weapon, Randedly was surprised to find it wrapped around the leg of a surprised Tartet, who appeared to have just regained his feet. Mostly recovered. Yanking on the whip, Diane's body blurred sideways out of the oncoming roots, shooting sideways towards Tartet, who fell to the ground with a yelp, unable to withstand the sudden force. Eyes narrowing, Randedly raised his hand, his eyes of the spear phantom focusing to a pinpoint. Incinerating bolt! It shot forward, aimed directly into Diane's path, and she didn't see it until the last second. It struck the hand that held her weapon, ripping a hole in her palm and knocking the weapon free. She tried to use what remained of her hand to steady her fall, but the hand gave out, and her face smashed into the ground, her nose breaking with an audible crack. Randy grinned and pointed, spearing roots ripping out of the ground and through Diane's armor. She wiggled like a fish, able to avoid any serious wounds, and with her good hand she produced a potion, a pink one that Randedly recognized as the same type the Yeti used, that appeared to restore everything to the user. He prepared to send another incinerating bolt, but Tartet regained his feet and stood between the two of them, blocking Randedly's line of sight.
Ghost Hound! Spear users do not stoop to fighting with magic!
Randedly's mind was ignoring Tartet, considering the options at 10,000 thoughts a second. Root manipulation would require more sight to use. Spearing roots had proven ineffective. Summon pestilence took too long to inflict damage. Incinerating bolt would just lose its killing power on Tartet. Circle of flame and agony don't have the range. Randedly needed to close the difference, and ideally eliminate the interference from Tartet as soon as possible. Congratulations, your skill poison resistance has grown to level 19.
The numbness is fading.
Randedly ground his teeth so hard his jaw popped.
But the pain! I won't last a second in a direct fight. But if I keep running, I'll just box myself in.
The spear advances, ash trails!
Randedly's eyes burned with the image, the explosion of force, the purity in a simple spearhead advancing. He saw it, too, the implacable deadliness of Diane's spear and the hunger of Tartet's spear. But that was not his spear. His was a spear with tyrannical momentum, a spear that would not stop no matter the obstacle. His was a spear that advances. To his credit, Tartet managed to get his weapons up in time, activating their strange vibration, and even moving to attack. But that split second wasn't enough, even for the highly trained Tartet. His body was sent flying like a rag doll, and Randedly flew forward in his wake, twisting slightly midair. Although he was unable to control his momentum, mostly due to the continued effect of the poison, he was satisfied with still moving towards Diane. Randedly raised his spear and activated Empower and Haste, his eyes locked on Diane's throat. There was a strange maroon energy around her, slowly spreading outward. Randomly ignored it, forcing his will down and wrapping it around his spear, almost instinctively. Immediately, he could faintly see an emerald energy around his spear, and randomly wondered if this was battle intent, but it was only a fleeting thought, and he used Phantom Thrust. The spear cut into her strange energy without any ill effects, swiftly advancing towards Dian's vulnerable throat. Congratulations, your skill Battle Intent has grown to level 2. Their eyes met. Dian's narrowed and bitter, Randidly's glowing emerald and vicious.
This is your fault. You pushed me to this, her eyes seemed to say.
I only take your life because you tried to take mine, his eyes answered.
But as his spear pierced, that energy surrounding it was slowly devoured, reduced to nothing, leaving only the spear. At the last second, his spear sunk a fraction of an inch into Dian's throat, drawing blood. The second after, all of the emerald energy was gone, and there truly was only the spear, which instantly disintegrated to nothing with that maroon energy. Randidly leaped back, his body still clumsily reacting to his commands. The energy exploded outwards, not exactly following him, but more like flowing towards him in his direction. He raised his hand to protect his face and continued to retreat. Very quickly, he had outstripped it because the energy flared, then fell back, settling around Dian. She looked at him strangely then, raising the pink potion to her lips. Randidly looked at his hand. Most of the flesh on the front had been stripped away, leaving only bloody muscle and bone. The rings on his right hand were ruined, melted to nothing. Luckily, his interspatial ring was on his other hand. Drinking his own potions, Randidly eyed her, just as she eyed him.
You surprised me, both of their eyes said.
Ghost Hound, Tartet said, struggling to his feet, panting. You fucking piece of shit! I'll kill you for humiliating me like this!
But Tartet was wounded too, and produced his own potions, drinking them quickly. The three stood eyeing each other warily. Randidly missed his chance to kill them both due to the interference of the other, and it appeared the other two were also aware. To Dian and Tartet, it was still 1 versus 1 versus 1. They would not work together. That was their pride. Even so, Randidly would have an extremely difficult time. His breathing returned to even, and he removed another bone spear from his ring. He'd played out most of his hidden moves. Meanwhile, it was impossible to determine exactly what this strange energy Dian made could do, and Randidly didn't doubt that Tartet knew another move to make his skill set so powerful. Randidly didn't know how much time remained, but it was going to be...
Ill-fated peasants! Why do you bleed over my stage?
Chapter 50 Claptrap kept his face carefully neutral. The grinning man was no longer grinning. His face was still as he ran his fingers over the bracer. Almost reverently, he set it back down and picked up the next one. Here, too, he took his time, his fingers deftly tracing the engraved lines the ghost hound left in the leather. Claptrap felt it, growing in him like a noxious weed, abating his anger. It was hope, spreading wildly. He wouldn't possibly be taking so much time if it was just for a joke, could he? Izzat hovered behind the man, but from a distance it was impossible to see the engraved lines, filled with a rich and vibrant mana. He was forced to wonder why this man, a member of the great crashing wave style, would spend so much time on a piece of leather armor he could have made himself with barely any levels in his leatherwork skill. The man set the second bracer down and picked up the third, which was the ghost hound's greatest, with an effectiveness of 52%. The man's eyes tightened, and here he truly took the time to use his fingers to explore every inch of the engraving. Claptrap was starting to realize he was searching for something, but he couldn't be sure what that was. As it was, he could only wait. The man set the final bracer down.
Madam Adept, a moment of your time,
Claptrap and Izzat both paled as the towering woman handed the tassel to another member of her style and moved forward. She was one of the adepts of the crashing wave style. Although they had a few dozen spear artisans, even the largest style in Katal only had 3 adepts at the moment, and considering her prodigious size and gender, there was only one that fit the description. Ifka, the slow tide. Her eyes flicked across the bracers.
Is this a joke?
Claptrap stood there for several seconds before it became clear to him that in fact she was talking to him.
No.
He didn't really know what would be a joke about his wares. Then he realized and stammered.
At least I don't think so. A man approached me, saying he was a novice engraver, unaffiliated with the guilds.
Claptrap stumbled to a stop, and from the way Izzat's eyes widened, he suddenly regretted that he stammered it out so easily, where anyone could hear. The guilds took their trade very seriously, and took certain steps to ensure that any individuals with the talent for engraving joined their guild, or they became unable to engrave in a series of tragic accidents. If Izzat would leak that information, or worse, try to blackmail him with it. But Ivka chuckled, her laughter and voice slow and even.
You need not lie, friend. I am aware the guilds occasionally send out their apprentices with a shell merchant in order for them to gain experience. But I would never have guessed the guilds would come to such a small place as our Katal.
Claptrap couldn't respond. He just opened and closed his mouth. Izzat was now looking at him with narrowed eyes, calculating.
Ivka continued to speak. Perhaps then, when you are willing to display your true wares, we can do business. Come, Seven.
The grinning man, Seven, whose easy smile returned, spared Claptrap a glance before following Ivka away. Hesitating for a moment, Izzat decided quickly to scurry after them, still interested in a deal. From the stink eye he gave Claptrap over his shoulder, this business wasn't concluded, and Izzat still had his suspicions. Abruptly alone, and with the gazes of the surrounding merchants on him, Claptrap felt very cold. Why had he said that? After shivering for several minutes, he abruptly put the bracers away and left, not even bothering to speak to the event staff. He needed space, and some time to think what revealing that information would mean for his business. Would this ghost hound end up being a blessing or a curse? Despite his high status as the most talented recruit of the heavy iron spear style, he simply jogged around the arena for the first hour, content to wait things out. He saw many powerful spear users that aroused his fighting spirit, but he'd received instruction from his master, Egger, to help the heavy iron spear style dominate every stage. He had even taken to wearing a disguise so he wouldn't be recognized. After all, in Katal and the surrounding areas, the most talented disciple the heavy iron spear style had seen in 50 years needed no introduction. Just his trademark aura of confidence was enough to make lesser opponents quake with fear. Much to his disappointment, only 4 of the stages bore the tassel of the heavy iron spear style at the halfway point. He shook his head sorrowfully. It could not be helped. After all, although he had done all he could to assist his fellow disciples, they didn't possess his talent and poise. They would never understand the heavy iron spear style like he would. It was a style focused on steadfastness in the face of adversity, of withstanding incredible pressure without bending. It was perhaps not the flashiest style, which disappointed him somewhat, but that didn't matter. After all, his shocking performance would be flashy enough to make up for any weaknesses in the style. As he jogged past a stage, he looked up to see the crowd here was rather thin. Although there were already 3 people above, they all seemed to be heavily injured and were carefully sipping potions while eyeing each other. Cowards. Seeing the first stepping stone he would take to lead the heavy iron spear style to greatness, he headed towards the crowd. Apparently, even his talent for disguises was too impressive, for as he pushed his way through, no one gave him a second glance. He secretly memorized all of their faces with his prodigious memory, swearing to repay this slight 1,000-fold. As he moved to the front, he realized how decidedly pathetic all three of the spear users on stage were. He hadn't seen any of their moves, but all three had ripped clothes and dried blood on their bodies, evidencing their earlier wounds. One wasn't even wearing shoes. Grinning, he removed his cape and mask with a flourish, revealing himself right at the edge of the stage. No one around him wavered as they stared intently up at the other three, and those three continued their strange, pregnant silence, as if waiting for a sign that they should overcome their fear and resume fighting. There was currently no honor here. He would change that.
"Ill-fated peasants, why do you bleed over my stage?" he said, stepping grandly into the spotlight with the three cowards.
For several long seconds, they did nothing. The closest, the pitiful, shoeless one, didn't even turn. A man, foolish enough to wield two spears at once, squinted at him, then yawned. The woman spared the new arrival a glance, but turned back to the shoeless dunce. He was infuriated. To think these fools would have the audacity to ignore him. Well, he would show them all how high the sky truly was. He drew his spear, which was a beautiful piece of artisanship, studded with precious materials to boost its effectiveness. It even had a very basic gazelle engraving, which boosted his agility and reaction. With this spear, he would... He stilled, his eyes locking with the far man's, who used two spears. A desolate wilderness resided in that man's eyes, and a rising storm of spears threatened to engulf him. They were endless and hungry, those spears, like a pack of hyenas, and they aimed to eat him alive. Sweating, he used every ounce of will to dispel the illusion, emerging to stagger forward. The man snorted, looking away. To think they would rely on underhanded mental attacks in order to throw him off his game. Truly, these three were bumpkins, because they didn't recognize him as the most talented member of the heavy iron spear style. And obviously, the heavy iron spear was not one that could be swayed by petty illusions. The heavy iron spear was a style that... His gaze met the woman's. Her eyes were dark, so dark that the irises seemed black from this distance, and he found himself unable to look away. As their gazes remained locked, in spite of his struggles, the edges of his vision began to darken. Slowly but surely, piece by piece, his vision was ripped away, consumed by the darkness in her eyes. As his gaze narrowed, there was less that he could see apart from those eyes, and even quicker, he was drawn into them, until it felt like he was falling to his death there. Abruptly, he blinked, finding himself sitting on the ground, trembling, his spear lying next to him. He had no idea what happened, or how long this had been going on for, but he was filled with shame and a vicious anger. After this, he would track down these bumpkins and murder their families in their sleep.
"We won't move while you deal with him," the woman said, glancing at the far man. The far man nodded, sneering. The close man tilted his head to the side.
"Why me?"
"You're closest," the dual spear user countered. Seemingly despite himself, the close man chuckled.
"It's already taken care of."
Fury laced its way into every ounce of his being that this shoeless savage would treat him so jokingly. When his spear was deep in the near man's gut, he would... Instead of standing, he toppled over and vomited all over his spear. As he struggled, his vision began to swim, the edges blurring. But he was well-trained, and his style specialized in defeating illusions, so he marshaled his will and created a wave of power that should clear his head. Nothing happened. His vision grew dark and his mouth started to foam. The barefooted man turned and regarded him for a second, and that gaze didn't inspire illusions, didn't consume his line of sight. but there was something more intimidating about those mild light green eyes. It was a look that demonstrated how little this near man cared about him. It was a look that, for the first time in his life, made him feel inferior.
"Poison,"
he mumbled, his fat tongue barely obeying him as he collapsed forward. "Congratulations. Your skill, Pollen of the Rafflesia, rare, has grown to level 17. Randomly tisked inwardly, and Dian's eyes narrowed, and Tartet scowled. The energy around Dian expanded, eating up the pollen of the Rafflesia that had been drifting towards her. For his part, Tartet raised his vibrating spears, which also seemed to destroy the pollen. Randomly shook his head, lamenting the fact that one idiot could waste the 10 or so minutes he'd used, hoping the pollen would drift towards one of them, knocking them out and giving him the chance to inflict a killing blow.
Sir,
Randomly glanced behind him, towards the voice. A beautiful woman with long brown hair gestured helplessly.
Let me take care of this unwelcome guest.
Shrugging, Randomly spared the man who pulled out a fancy spear just to vomit on it one more glance. Then he turned back to Dian and Tartet. He listened very carefully, but he needn't have bothered. The woman came on stage and simply dragged the twitching body away, swiftly leaving. After she left, as one, the three of them raised their spears, flexed their hands, and cracked their necks.
Well then, I suppose this is as good a time as any to kill you,
Tartet said lazily. Dian said nothing, her strangely intense gaze still on Randomly. Congratulations, your skill poison resistance has grown to level 20. Congratulations, your skill struggle has grown to level 4. Randomly was never the one-liner type, so with a smile on his face, his feet carried him forward on his path. Chapter 51 Tartet and Dian glanced at each other warily. Although both didn't want the other's help, both knew Randomly's spells gave him an edge that was hard to overcome with pure spear work. As such, if they didn't work together, it was highly possible that Randomly could overwhelm them with attacks from too many directions and eliminate them. But they also didn't want to take any concerted actions to stop it. Randomly casually waved his spear, unwilling to give them much time to work out their plan. A hole sprung up in the middle of the stage, large enough for a child to crawl into, and from it, a dozen root spiders spilled out, skittering across the ground. Both Dian and Tartet gaped, unsure of what they were seeing. Although he wanted the pollen of the Rafflesia plan to work, Randomly never held out much hope. Simultaneously, he'd been hollowing out a small area underneath the stage, his two opponents suspecting nothing as he drank mana potion after mana potion and began summoning root spiders. The strange creatures skittered towards Dian and Tartet, and they raised their spears ready to meet them. Although they didn't recognize them, they did have some sense of their strength, and they were only distracting. As always, the true threat lay with Randomly. Randomly continued to stalk closer. The root spiders circled, threatening but not moving. His two opponents exchanged a glance, which was exactly what Randomly was waiting for. The ground underneath Tartet erupted, thick roots springing out to drag him down into the ground. Tartet cursed and struggled, his two vibrating spears ripping through the roots, but he still toppled from the initial momentum, falling into the hole, which was tightly packed with more root spiders. They leapt at him, showing their teeth. Randomly turned his eyes to Dian. That trap would hold Tartet for a time, but wouldn't be able to kill him. But once Dian was out of the picture... Accelerating forward, Randomly ran, his root spiders leaping behind him. Her eyes sparkling, Dian raised her whip spear and swiped, the weapon slashing outward. Without missing a beat, Randomly sidestepped, and his spiders leapt over the strike. Her face flushing, Dian lashed out more. Just like his roots hadn't worked on her, now that Randomly had seen her use the weapon, it was rather easy to avoid at this range. The true danger was when it was in close quarters, and a stray attack could break the skin and once more spread that poison throughout his body. The potions and his own resiliency had been able to drive away most of the effects, but there was still a strange stiffness to him he wasn't able to shake. His body could eliminate it well enough to run, but there appeared to be some residue. He had a vested interest in staying as far as possible from additional damage from those strikes, and as Randedly rushed closer, he hoped his spear phantom's footwork was enough to keep the distance he needed to avoid being struck. Dian kept throwing strikes, and Randedly moved between them. The root spiders came close enough to start antagonizing her. Cursing, she stumbled backwards, slicing them away. Randedly took advantage of the distraction and arrived before her, using haste, empower, and mana strengthening to push his spear phantom's footwork to a frightening level of efficacy. Raising his spear, Randedly aimed for the shoulder she used to hold her spear whip and used phantom thrust. Her reactions, however, were still top-notch. She spun away, losing a tuft of her already short hair as she ducked and twisted through Randedly's follow-up attack. She raised her spear whip, but he wasn't about to give her a chance to use it. While summoning spearing roots to attack her legs from behind, Randedly used Phantom Onslaught, unleashing thrust after thrust. If she refused to succumb to the precision stuff, better to drown her while he had her on her heels. She continued to surprise him. Twisting her feet in a weird way, she hopped a few inches off the ground, stepping on his spearing roots, using them to vault over his head and flip to safety. Even so, she only had a brief second of respite before Randedly arrived, Phantom Onslaught lashing. But her move had given her enough room to bring around her spear whip, and she was currently out of the range of the root spiders, so she was able to defend against his attack. Or at least most of it. Perhaps if it was the only move, she would have survived without a scratch. But it had been refined through the clash with Tartet, and several of his thrusts during the onslaught ripped large gashes in her shoulders and torso. Gasping, she stumbled backwards, her eyes flashing.
You! Circle of flame!
A blast of fire expanded outwards, cutting off her speech and sending her stumbling. His eyes glittering, Randedly advanced, spear raised. After three steps, however, a spear burst out of the ground, vibrating fiercely. Randedly immediately sensed it and dodged to the side, though not before it ripped into his calf, severing several very important tendons. He hissed in annoyance. They would heal, but it would take a while.
You imbecile! Did you think that was enough to give me pause?
Tartet asked, bursting out of the ground. His scowl seemed carved on his face, but as he glanced to the side, towards the fellow challenger, his eyes narrowed further, and the scowl dropped away, revealing a hint of something else. Of fear. Panting, Dian stood, her hand held up in front of her. Around her hand, that strange energy swirled, going faster and faster, forming a vortex around her hand, slowly growing larger, soon spreading to envelop all of her.
Do you dare, disciple of the spear phantom style?
She hissed, her expression haughty.
This is the path of the devourer, the greedy hand. Before it, all attacks are eaten.
Tartet hastily backed away, clearly recognizing this move, but Randedly didn't know it. Again, their eyes locked. Flee before me, her stance seemed to announce. My spiders are gnawing on your Achilles. You cannot move, he answered. They both stood there, while the energy around her hand grew more and more chaotic. Her fingers warped, then bent and cracked backwards, causing her to groan softly. So the strange energy would even devour her? A foolish move, then. Thinking of his own agony, Randedly couldn't help but smile. Perhaps there was some appeal to foolish moves after all. Most of all, Randedly realized he needed to be true to his image of the spear, if he wanted to continue to improve. And his spear would advance in the face of anything. After briefly considering trying to surround his spear with that strange, intent energy again, he swiftly discarded it. Dian's previous intent burnt through his rather quickly, and this looked even more fearsome. That wasn't the answer. He had to advance, but perhaps the spear wouldn't always be the weapon he chose to use to do so. Randidly raised his hands, reaching deep inside himself. "Let me see how hungry that hand of yours really is," Randidly whispered. "Inspiration. Pestilence. Descend. Flood this land." "Congratulations. Your skill, Summon Pestilence, has grown to level 37. As his disciple raised his hands, Shaul narrowed his eyes. He'd learned a lot of things in his travels, had seen a lot of different skills and spells, but his disciple was strange. When he looked at him, he only saw a being that was extremely talented at survival, without many other strengths to speak of. Or perhaps more likely, his other strengths just hadn't had time to develop fully. Shaul was forced to admit that when it came down to it, everything else was just applied survival. That skill alone was enough to let his disciple dominate these two talented spear users. He supposed he should feel proud of the performance, but it was all done so sloppily. He was definitely going to beat some sense into that disciple after this. The greedy hand brought back memories Shaul preferred not to think about, and put him in a morose mood. If he hadn't been so cheered by watching the three spear users dismiss Egger's disciple so decisively, he might have gotten up and left. That move would also pose an interesting challenge to Randidly. After all, even Shaul struggled against the user of that move, although the user was on a completely different level of strength. It was almost impossible to directly overwhelm, and without the spear phantom skill set to attack the girl directly. Then Shaul heard the buzzing and looked up. His eyes widened. A huge cloud swirled above the arena, so large it blotted out the sun. It drifted downward, and the buzzing swiftly became a droning, a deafening chorus of hatred and hunger. Shaul almost chuckled as he watched the millions of bugs swirl downwards in a funnel on a collision course to that hungry, vicious energy in the girl's hands.
"You certainly don't slouch when you make a decision, do you? Perhaps it was fate that we met, disciple."
Chittering their defiance, the bugs crashed into the energy. Chapter 52. Randidly could only focus forward. Continuing supported his momentum, which was the only thing keeping him upright. If he allowed his mind to waver, his focus would slide to his numerous pains, concerns about the result of this inspired skill, Tartet's presence, what he would do after his spell was exhausted. When his mana was lost to him, he would lose his edge, and the bugs would collapse into a swarm that would devour everything. Probably even him. These bugs were easily double the size of the normal bugs, and quite a lot meaner, with sharp pincers. Randidly did not let his focus waver. He pushed the unstable system notifications and physical sensations away. He was the bugs, and they were a spear, spinning downwards, tighter and tighter, always advancing. Distantly, he could see Dian as her eyes widened at the sight of this calamity that descended from the sky. The spear, probably as tall as a building, had a small lake of bugs fueling it from above, so that it crashed into the energy that Dian held aloft. Immediately before the bugs arrived, Randidly caught how the energy flared around her hand and grew wider, the rotations speeding up, but then only the bugs remained. And the humming filled Randidly's very bones as he struggled to keep the disparate creatures under control. They were violent and hungry, and seemingly all with their little spark of intelligence, although it didn't proceed much past it. Unfortunately, they were greatly more poorly behaved than his delightful root spiders, which so easily followed basic commands. Of course, Randidly had no doubt that four or five of these would tear a root spider to pieces in less than 10 seconds. There were trade-offs, but as the pounding in his head grew sharper, he wondered whether it was worth it. He set that thought aside and pressed with every ounce of focus he had, driving those bugs downward in a tight spiral. He had to keep them there, or they would spread, and he would lose the piercing power of the spear image he forced over their forms. From that, he could feel that even though Dian was able to devour almost every bug, she was slowly getting pushed back as more and more arrived, faster than her energy could consume. And Randedly had more. With burning eyes, he raised his hand and pulled, and several thin tendrils of bugs spiraled downward, joining the huge spear that crashed into the area of Dian's figure, now completely obscured by the buzzing and droning of pestilence. They made the spear swell, growing larger and more vicious. Randedly started to feel some of his insects pelting the ground, beginning to eat the very ground out from under her. Randedly could have controlled them to a more offensive direction, but it would have taken focus he wasn't sure he could spare. He allowed them to continue their mindless feeding on the stone of the platform. Sweat trickled down his brow, feeling Dian slowly slip farther and farther back. Randedly grinned viciously. If he could manage to push her off the stage, although it wouldn't end her for good, it would likely push them apart. While Randedly would continue on to the regional tournament and training under Shawl, a spear user of this level would not have the ability to impact Randedly any longer. They would not meet again. To his shock, Randedly hesitated, if just for a split second. Large groups of insects exploded outward, smashing into the ground and into the crowd around the stage, who now drew their spears and threw panicked attacks up at the cloud of hungry death that escaped their tightly held reins. But what use were spears against insects? Several people were grievously gnawed as Randedly struggled to regain those large groups of rogue insects while keeping up the constant pressure on Dian. Luckily, it seemed some good came of his inattention, and some of the insects had spread behind her and began to gnaw on the ground. It was hard to see it due to the air being thick with buzzing wings and clicking pincers, but Randedly could feel it through them, just barely. Their hunger, combined with his previous actions with root spiders. Crash! Randedly smiled darkly. Just like he predicted, the stage had been hollowed out too much, and part of it collapsed. It was several meters behind Dian and to the left, but it was a much closer target. With this observable goal, Randedly felt some of his determination return, and with a yank, gathered all of the insects back into a group, throwing more and more down into the spear that smashed into Dian's energy. It was weakening, but it had stabilized during the time Randedly lost control of the insects. With flashing eyes, Randedly set about rectifying that situation. Carefully, great bouts of insects rained down, dragging her backwards. Minutes passed, and Randedly's jaw was sore from clenching it for so long. But he did not relent, because his was a spear that would only advance. Dian neared the edge, both in spurts and long, dragged-out periods of inaction. When she'd gotten so close that her heel was only a hair away, her strange energy only a quarter as large as it had been to start, Randedly roared, clenching his hand into a fist, and mirroring it, the group of insects above tightened into a stronger formation. He threw that fist, and they descended in a huge, crushing wave. They were seemingly endless, and Randedly marveled at the power of inspiration. But Dian, too, was not without tricks. Her energy surged brighter, a flickering defiance in the face of the numerous bugs. It rapidly sucked up the ones there and seemed to keen its vicious hunger. When the fist of insects descended, however, it was smothered. There was no other logical outcome. Randedly felt her in the middle of the swarming insects, keeping her energy around her, trying to protect herself, and he felt as she overbalanced and tilted backwards, driven over the edge with only the collapsed stage behind her. Dong! A familiar bell rung, and a voice spoke.
The qualifier is over. All contestants cease attacks so the winners may be determined.
Randidly almost shrugged helplessly as his huge mass of insects swarmed, but suddenly a coughing man was in front of him, holding a spear. It was a long, ornate thing of brass, and the man simply tapped the spear on the ground, still coughing, and a wave of force flew forward. The insects cracked, fell, and disintegrated to dust. Dian was there, covered in bite marks and scratches, but she was still falling. As Randidly watched, she tumbled off the edge and out of sight. The coughing man turned to Randidly, then looked at the spot Dian disappeared. He teleported over to the edge, looked down, then shook his head. The man reappeared on the far side, where Tartette stood, panting. After giving Tartette a brief once-over, the man nodded, then looked at the sky and spoke.
Stage 7 will not need overtime. There are only 3 individuals remaining on the stage.
3? Randidly whispered, confused.
Apparently the coughing man had very powerful hearing, because he frowned at him for several seconds. After a while, he seemed to relent.
Yes, 3. For although the stage collapsed, the piece the girl fell onto was still unbroken. It counts.
Silent and prideful, Dian climbed back over the edge to stand on the stage with the rest of them. Randidly smiled at her, showing his teeth like a predator would. Their eyes held for several long seconds. Then Dian shrugged, her own smile narrow and sharp. After a moment of consideration, Randidly said nothing further. It would likely be pointless to argue with this middle-aged man. And besides, even though this woman clearly had a vendetta against him, she wasn't insufferable like some of the other insignificant characters he'd been forced to deal with since coming to Shaul's world. Although, it was hard to know whether he only thought that because she was objectively attractive. Randidly didn't think it affected his decision all that much. Having strong rivals to push you forward was necessary, in his experience. His experience reading martial arts fantasy, anyway. And he wouldn't be caught unawares by her poison again. Randidly would be much harder to kill going forward. Another stray thought popped up, as the 3 of them drifted closer to the middle-aged man. Randidly wondered what this world was called. He assumed it would have a name. And it was beginning to get annoying to not be able to think of it as something other than Shaul's world. As his thoughts continued to scatter in the wake of his earlier spell, his brain was hit with the brutal sledgehammer of exhaustion. Randidly winced, recognizing this as a system-generated status that represented the fact he'd overdrawn himself to control the vast swarm of insects. He had only been under this a few times in the past, mainly during his root avatar training, usually after a long night of engraving, and it had never been this painful. There might be a potion that was able to address this issue, but Randidly wasn't familiar with it. Besides, some rest would probably do him some good. He'd earned it.
Chapter 53.
A voice boomed above him, drawing his attention.
The tassels will now be updated to display the winners of the respective stages. To those who have made it, congratulations. You have earned your way to the Northern Regional Tournament for the Spearman School. Bring us honor.
Once again, expanding to an even larger size, their tassels unfurled. Randidly's emerald and gold, Tartette's piss yellow and black, and Dian's red-violet and white. They were all eye-catching, each for their own reason. Especially when compared against the sea of red, orange, and golden hues that fluttered on the other stages. The one other color of note was a sky blue with black lettering, which fluttered lazily into view on the other side of the observation tower, on the stage directly opposite theirs. The old man nodded to them all, then gestured imperiously for them to follow, and strode away towards the viewing tower. The 3 glanced at each other, eyes narrowed. Especially between Dian and Randidly, whose immediate weakness was all too apparent after their previous confrontation. The moment to strike would be now.
Violence from you will be met by violence from me,
the old man remarked, not bothering to turn around, coughing after he spoke. Tartet snorted.
Idiots! We have time enough in the tournament. Why are you so hasty to die without an audience? There is no honor in that. That sort of needless infighting is how the whites shall defeat us.
But fighting with an audience isn't needless. This world is seriously fucked. Moving stiffly, Randidly followed, his skin prickling as Dian fell in line behind him. He instinctively felt displaying weakness here was not what he wanted. Instead, better to let her see how little this bothered him. Even though Randidly didn't know how good of an actor he really was. And when he felt a hand settle around his elbow, he barely suppressed his instinct to lash out.
You!
Dian's sharp features narrowed even further as she inwardly struggled with something. Finally reaching a decision, she lowered her hand and finished, with a hint of ritual and respect in her voice.
What is your name?
Ghost Hound, Randidly said, somewhat at a loss. Dian raised her hand and ran it through her spiky red hair, sticking up in all directions, covered in dirt, blood, and insect ichor. Then she nodded seriously and walked away. Somewhat confused, Randidly lengthened his stride and followed, until all three of them were walking in line. There was a rather tedious ceremony after they descended to the topmost floor of the viewing tower, and each were given a medallion that would serve as their ticket of admission into the tournament. The winners from each stage stood separate, 20 in total, due to a few stages having less than 3. All stared at the Stage 7 victors with their distinctive tassels over their heads. What Randidly found most interesting was that although he was given a cursory glance, which was a little more than Tartet's brief glance, it was Dian who received most of the attention. She held her head high and received the stares without batting an eye. Which was for the best, because one of the things Randidly liked most about his time here in Shaw's world was how little attention he received. But it appeared to be slowly changing. Still, Randidly remained optimistic. After all, they would probably go to another city for the regional tournament. And based on what Divot said, Randidly would be forced to face opponents a level higher, even higher than Dian and Tartet. With that sort of competition, hopefully, he would no longer attract attention. Then again, Randidly resolved himself to receiving it, because it wasn't participation in the regional tournament that was necessary. It was placing within the top 8. Under thunderous applause, Randidly walked out of the arena, struck by how ridiculous this all seemed. This was another world, after all. And here, strength and honor were what earned accolades. Shaw found Randidly surrounded by crowds and brought him out. When they returned to the boat, Shaw gave him a long look.
You have an hour. After that, the training will begin. Do you agree?
Although Randidly's head threatened to split apart, he somehow shuffled his neck muscles into agreeing. Although he was able to use his magic to make up the difference, the fight clearly demonstrated his own insufficiencies, especially in regards to the spear. Maintaining powerful mana skills was important, but it wouldn't be enough when he could use his inspiration in one match and then fight the next with no mana. His spearmanship must at least rise to the level where he could hold his own. After around 30 minutes of silent meditation in his room, where the worst of the rebound from overtaxing his mental resources passed, Randidly opened his eyes and viewed his obscured status screen. Survive and move forward, one step at a time. He'd missed a large chunk of notifications in the frantic battle, likely because of his fixation on poison resistance. He earned 3 skill levels in Spearing Roots, 1 in Root Control, 2 in Mana Strengthening and Wall of Thorns, 1 in Agony, Incinerating Bolt and Circle of Flame, 3 in Pulliomancy, 2 in Spear Mastery and Spear Phantom's Footwork, 1 in Eyes of the Spear Phantom, 1 in Phantom Half-Step, 2 in Dodge and Block, 1 in Haste, 2 in Phantom Onslaught, 2 in Empower and Fighting Proficiency, 1 in Calculated Blow and Edge of Decay, 1 in Pierce the Skies, Shatter the Earth, and Struggle, and 4 in Battle Intent. Randidly also gained 3 levels in the Spear Advances, Ash Trails. He had two levels in mana engraving from the morning, one in physical fitness, meditation, and running, two in mental strength and grace, one in bacterial regeneration, two in superiority, and four in mental fortitude. An excellent haul for a day and a half's work. This was the reward that came with experiencing several near misses with death and using his moves on actual people rather than training alone. And since he had no path, Randy considered his options. Watcher, 0 out of unknown. Unknown. Heretic, 6, 0 out of unknown. Oathbreaker, 0 out of 25. Initiate of Ash, 1, 0 out of 75. Path of Carnage, 1, 0 out of unknown. Nexus Traveler Cohort, 5, 0 out of 50. Path of Control, 0 out of 200. Grace, 1, 0 out of 50. There were two changes of note. The first was foreboding, with Heretic increased to 6. There was no corresponding notification. As randomly scrolled through the still fuzzy notifications due to the effect by the poison, but it would bear watching. However, if there wasn't a notification, there probably wouldn't be another judgment soon. For now, randomly hoped it wouldn't be until Heretic 10 and moved on. The other new choice was the addition of the Grace 1 path. Grace was a passive skill, but it had real tangible effects on his balance and center of gravity. It was hard to tell what the path would get him, but theoretically, it would help him improve his physical combat. He gained 73 path points and wasn't sure which direction to head. Path of Control still seemed the most worthwhile, but it came with a hefty price tag, and randomly wanted to focus more heavily on his physical attributes. His spells were currently sufficient, while his physical prowess was not. Nexus Traveler Cohort 5 seemed like a reward path, but was somewhat fishy. Initiate of Ash was something he should research more before going into. Weirdly, randomly found himself selecting the Watcher path. Part of the appeal was that he'd possessed it for a long time, and was likely a short path. He would rather start it quickly and finish it now while there was no obvious option, other than Path of Carnage 1, but that avenue might take a while. When he placed the first point into it, to his surprise, a fuzzy notification appeared in front of him. Turned out to be a good thing he waited to take more of the potion. Warning, selecting Watcher, 0 out of unknown, will result in the loss of the unknown path. These paths are mutually exclusive. Do you wish to continue? Randomly hesitated for a small moment and then clicked no. If they were mutually exclusive, and with a lame name like Watcher, perhaps it would be more fun to gamble on the random one? It would likely have a similar path point requirement. Randomly backed out, chose the unknown path, and selected yes at the notification, only to be faced with another notification. Warning, there has been an error in the establishment of the unknown path. Certain prerequisites have been lost. Development of a related path is possible. Warning, if you continue with insufficient fuel, death or other side effects may result. Do you wish to continue? After taking a deep breath, randomly reached within himself, finding those slender threads of ether. They spawned from that strange source held in his chest, growing thicker by the day. The source, too, seemed somewhat larger, pulsing with its sickly light. It burned and frothed, then frosted and cracked, flowing into every corner of him. His body was lousy with the stuff. Grinning, randomly clicked yes. Processing. Against his will, Randidly's body shuddered and twisted. The ether in his chest began to burn hot. The feeling in his fingers and toes quickly disappeared, and blackness crept and consumed the edges of his vision. The walls of the small room began to swim, and a pang suddenly retched in his stomach. Perhaps he just made a terrible mistake. In the next moment, the energy in his chest froze solid, and he couldn't breathe. His fingers began to dance and twitch, filled with a fiery energy. He growled huskily, the only noise he could force out of his seized chest. The energy within him began to pulse,
not unceasing inside of him, but moving with a rhythm. Slowly, that rhythm aligned with Randidly's heartbeat. Without counting them, Randidly felt the heartbeat slip past, until the thrum of blood and energy in his body drove his heart rate and blood pressure up to the point it pounded in his eyes, and he swore they would explode. His chest slowly defrosted, and the pressure faded away, but simultaneously grew louder, thundering in his ears. Failure. Matching pair not found. Expanding database parameters. In his stomach, the ether began to twist and swirl, forming slowly into a cyclone. Although he'd begun to visualize it as an ether spring within him, strengthening his connection to his skills, mana, and stamina, he had yet to really understand what that meant. But now, as the ether surged upwards, exploding out to fill his entire body, he knew. All this time, although he had drawn on some of the ether, most of it flowed into him and found no avenue to spread. It didn't radiate out of his skin, only able to travel through the connections he made. Some of that ether was lucky enough to flow along to Thorn and Arbor, and other amounts went to Sam, Alana, Annie, and Mrs. Hamilton, but that was still a fraction of the potential the ether spring possessed. After all, it was enough to support an entire village. Because of this inability to flow freely, it had gathered deep within him, settling into a strange reservoir, packed itself tighter and tighter, forming a denser and denser mass of energy, waiting to be summoned. And now that Randidly beckoned, even slightly, it all rose, exploding to his aid. It began to burn, partially of heat, partially of cold, and Randidly wanted to scream. Such was the grinding, vicious pain caused by the energy inside of him. But all of his muscles seized again, and he was stuck. Without moving, with a certain fatality to his mindset, he waited in his traitorous body as the energy pulsed louder and louder. The veins in his arms stood out like bulging worms, and they twitched as the energy pulsed. Failure. No matching pair can be found. Recalculating. The energy moved again, cracking and scattering, siphoned off somewhere. Randidly took a breath, gasping. Although his physical condition had improved, he still needed to breathe. Well, eventually, for sure. But the time he could hold his breath might be pretty impressive now. Warning. Anomaly detected. System warning. The most recent notification appeared and disappeared, just as fast as Randidly could read it. Then he began to doubt himself, because his vision was still vibrating at the edges. Randidly froze. He felt something very distinct and impossibly strange. Hands. Inside of him. They were soft, and the fingers long, reaching with expert delicateness within him to gather up the strands of wild ether, moving and weaving them. Each finger acted with the utmost dexterity, holding various strands in place while the hands moved. There was a grace to its actions that made Randidly shake his head in wonder, or at least he would have, had the ether allowed him to move. As this process was going on, the hairs on Randidly's body stood straight up, but he couldn't turn his attention away as the hands continued to work on the ether within him. Although it wasn't something Randidly currently understood, it made him wonder, what were these hands doing? And obviously, more importantly, where had they come from?
Chapter 54.
Randidly sensed how this was somewhat similar to engraving, but they were so far apart from each other, like comparing the act of writing a novel to a child learning to write letters. There were flows and twists, eddies and splits. The most important difference was it felt whole and organic in an inexplicable way. The thing these mysterious hands were creating inside of Randidly was something living and could change and evolve. It was weaving potential into every line and curve. It was, he assumed, a path. The path that failed to be created previously. Which perhaps meant this was some entity related to the system? And if someone was going to all this trouble to make it, it was undoubtedly a very special one. Or at least he hoped so.
Randidly's instincts continued to scream, because the hands moving inside of him, shaping the ether, was an extremely invasive and uncomfortable feeling. But he didn't dare move. This being appeared able to interfere with notifications. Although the potion Randidly obtained had been able to do that, it was just making them invisible to him. That didn't change the effects of them. This was on the level of adjusting the notifications. Randidly was suddenly struck by the strange feeling that whoever this was understood in a very sophisticated way how the system worked, and if this person could learn... Randidly resolved himself to try too. As those hands moved more and more quickly, he focused inward, ignoring the urge to vomit, and watched the motions. They continued to twist and tie ether together, and then deftly compress it into smaller parts, moving on to other things. Like so, an infinitely complex arrangement made of thousands of runes of the type Randidly made was pressed into a tight shape. Then the shape glowed. Before the hands departed, they moved deeper within him. He felt those invisible fingertips on each of his skills, lingering especially long on the runic rarity skill set. Then they moved forward and gently landed on his soul skill, swirling at his core. For a long time, those fingers stayed there, carefully feeling the shape of it, tracing its contours, almost pulling and stretching it slightly, as if to see more. Then, after the hands seemed satisfied with his soul skill, the hands reached back to the strange shape it made inside of Randidly and twisted and pulled deftly, seemingly tying a knot. Then the ether clicked into place. Randidly gasped. The hands were gone, and his body began to burn. Congratulations, your path asterisk open parenthesis ampersand 832H089L1 semicolon has transformed into the Lonesome Spear path, 0 out of 100. Randidly collapsed backwards, breathing heavily. For several long minutes, he stared intently at the most recent notification. The Lonesome Spear, huh? Cautiously, he put his remaining path points into it, one at a time. At 25 path points, he received the first notification. Congratulations, you have earned plus 50 health. He received another boost at 50 path points, giving him plus 50 mana, before he settled at 73. Likely 75 would be plus 50 stamina, but Randidly wondered what the completion bonus would be. Because honestly, the rewards so far were much less than he expected for something that required the interference of strange mystical hands. Randidly considered broaching the topic of those hands with Shawl, but he was worried. After all, it was hard to tell how widespread the knowledge of judgment would be. It is possible the system would somehow encourage people like him to be hunted. Randidly shook his head. Shawl wouldn't be like that, though it was a dangerous topic. Best to broach the topic carefully. After checking the time, Randidly once more returned to meditating, trying to restore himself to a better condition in the remaining 10 minutes until he needed to meet Shawl. Undoubtedly, considering his master's methods, it was going to be a long night. Claptrap sat bolt upright, scared out of his mind. He obviously wasn't at a high level of skill or physical prowess. He still put quite a few points into perception in order to more effectively examine the quality of armor. But now, in the dead of night, there was a figure standing in the dark over his bed, looming like the shadow of death. The figure produced a lamp, and a soft light illuminated most of his features, revealing an easy smile. Claptrap's heart initially eased because he recognized this man as the smiling man with the crashing wave style. But then began to pound, because the fact he had come here in the night... Hello, the man said.
You may refer to me as Artisan Dway. We have some business to discuss. Not if you understand.
Claptrap nodded woodenly, his fear withdrawing somewhat, and his merchant mind coming to the fore at the mention of business. But that moniker hung in the air between them. Artisan... Although it was the least of the titled recognition provided by the Spearman School, it was still a level that only 1 in 10,000 reached. In a city like Catal, very few would go against an artisan. Although there were adepts present in the city, there were only 20 or so of them, and they mostly kept to themselves, concerned with affairs far above the average citizen. To be visited in the dead of night by an artisan was an implicit threat, and also an opportunity, because Claptrap still breathed. Though panic made him want to hide his face, he could also see Ciel's gentle smile. And for her, he would do anything. He would seize any and every opportunity. Artisan Dway chuckled.
It's good to see you have some spine. I'll be short. As many of those engraved armors you have, the Crashing Wave style will buy them. In bulk. 10 silver per piece of armor above the usual price for that armor, provided the quality of the base armor is satisfactory. If the efficiency is about 60%, an additional 30 silver, 100 bonus silver pieces for any piece of armor that reaches 80%. If you can obtain better than that, we can talk prices further. But I doubt that is possible based upon your previous wares. Claptrap managed not to gape. A leather bracer of high quality could be obtained for 15 silvers, a few less if he bought in bulk. However, the sale price was usually around 20, so that meant he could sell these for 30 silvers each. That was a doubling of his initial investment. Of course, some would go to the Ghost Hound, but if the Ghost Hound could reach 60%, that upcharge of 30 silver. Claptrap could only see golden coins for several seconds. Then he shook his head.
A problem?
Artisan Dway asked, his tone casual. We believe our offer is very generous. And let's be clear. Adept Ivka was bluffing. The engraving guilds do no such training events, precisely to prevent mid-tier styles from obtaining armor with minor engravings, and obtaining an advantage. When the guild does find you, Artisan Dway continued, you will want to have some friends to help alleviate the pressure. Your engraver will join the guilds or die. You might be extorted for some of your profits, but that won't be such a loss, especially if you have a large amount of goodwill to fall back on with your loyal customers. As Dway continued to talk, Claptrap's face sank, and he abruptly realized